part of our message is still speaking about the resurrection. Last week we were looking Godward. We were looking at that same power that raised Christ from the dead now resides within us in the Spirit of the living God. We are looking Godward. But today I want us to look Christward. Looking Christward in the resurrection. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 4, the Bible says, "And declare to thee the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." I know this name will come to remembrance, Fritz Kreisler. But Fritz Kreisler was a world-famous violinist. He earned a fortune with his concerts and the various compositions that he had made. But of all the money that he received, he gave almost all of it away. He kept nothing for himself. On one particular day, he was on a trip, and he saw the most exquisite violin he had ever seen. But he had no money to buy it. And so what he decided to do was to raise money so he could go out and buy that violin. After a year, he went back. He went to the music store, and the violin had been sold to a collector. And so Fritz Kreisler determined and found out where the new owner's home was located, and he made his way there, knocked on the door, and he made an offer to buy the violin. The collector said, "This is one of my most prized collections. It's not for sale." So Kreisler, somewhat discouraged, then had an idea. And he said to the collector, "Sir, before the violin is consigned to silence, may I at least play it? May I at least play it?" And so the collector granted permission. And virtuoso. And the room filled with the sweetest sound that the collector had ever heard in his life. He was so stirred. He said, "Mr. Kreisler, I have no right to keep that to myself. It's yours. Take it to the world and let the people hear it. Take it to the world and let the people hear it. The resurrection of Jesus Christ." Looking Christward. This gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Paul was set apart for the gospel of God. This is the very reason that God called Paul. He was set apart to the gospel of God. He was separated. And that word "separated" unto the gospel means this, that God had marked him. That's the greatest tattoo that anyone can ever receive. To have the marking of God, the indelible marking, to do what God has called that person to do. He was marked to bring to the whole world the sweetest sound ever, the music of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul did not say that God called him to be a Baptist, to be a Presbyterian, to be a Pentecostal or Charismatic or a Catholic. He was never called to a denomination. He was never called to a particular sect. He was not called to bring the prosperity gospel or the social gospel or the welfare gospel. As important as all of these things may be, Paul said he was set apart marked by God to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But immediately we're faced with something. What is the gospel? You have to look at Christ's word. The gospel of the New Testament is the same good news of God which was promised in the Old Testament scriptures. And Jesus is the subject of the Old, and obviously because He is the New Testament. He is the subject and He is the author of the gospel. Mark said, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But the gospel began long before God became flesh. Long before Jesus Christ was born into this world. Long, long ago, in the mind and the plan of God, God foretold the gospel of His Son. He did so through the prophets of old. And as I reference Mark in Mark 1:1, here we have the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make His paths straight," as was told at the beginning of the gospel, where? As was told by the prophets of old. And now look what you're supposed to do. In Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, we read, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which He had promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from our God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say to all who be in Greenfield Center Baptist Church, beloved of God." What a beautiful scripture that is for us. In these verses, in these basic verses, so to speak, let me say, or profound verses, He gives a basic outline. And He gives a basic outline of the penetrating look of ancient Christianity and how, as I've been talking with Patty and even a little bit with Jim, how the old and the new reside together. How the old and the new can reside together. But notice the gospel has such a close relationship when, if anybody remembers or you have been put to memory, the Apostles' Creed. Many years ago, they had creeds, they had confessions, they were built on the Word of God. Paul has a view of the Old Testament that he's bringing to New Testament believers. He's saying that the gospel comes from God. The gospel comes from God. That the gospel that comes from God is given to His prophets. And because it was given to His prophets, thus saith the Lord, we have the Holy Scriptures. He begins this beautiful outline of giving us Christ's Word, looking to Christ. It comes from God, given through the prophets, now the Holy Scripture. And then Paul comes down and he gives us a view of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's Son. He says, concerning His Son, this is what Paul is writing about. And then he says, He's not only God's Son, He is the promised Messiah. He calls him Christ, the Messiah. And then he says, He is Lord, our Lord. How beautiful that is. He is man also, born of the seed of David according to the flesh. The outline continues. He is declared to be the very Son of God, declared to be the Son of God with power. And then he tells us that he is divine, that he is holy. He says, according. How is he declared to be the Son of God? With power, he says in Romans chapter 1 going through, according to the Spirit of holiness. And then he comes down, and hereby we have this resurrection from the dead, looking Christward. It's all about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and now he says, get your view on Christ by the resurrection from the dead. And now Paul begins to even more answers of what is the gospel? What is the gospel? We can find it in the Old Testament. Study through the book of Isaiah. You will see the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter where you study in the Old Testament. Look at the Psalms. You will see the good news of Jesus Christ. The Jews' hymn book, if you will. But he gives us a view of the gospel. He says, it is of God. The gospel of God. Not from Him. It is Him. It is of Him, His very DNA. That it was prophesied. He had promised. He had promised that the Messiah was coming to redeem humanity. And the gospel agrees with the Old Testament. The new is in agreement with the old, and the old speaks of the new which has come. Promise afore in the Holy Scriptures. My dear friends, I see often people quoting the Old Testament. They're not Christians, but anytime they want to try to take down Christianity, they always go to the Old Testament. And they always bring back, God did this, and God did that, and God, blah, blah. And they have no clue because they're so far out of context. They just found some way to say that God is nothing more than an angry God who kills people. That's all they care about. Try to take down. But the Word of God says they have no idea who Jesus Christ is. And if they did know who Jesus Christ is and they knew the gospel, they would look at the Old Testament and say, He was promised before in the Scriptures. There was no disagreement between the Old and the New. Why? Because it concerns the very Son of God. Concerning His Son, Paul writes in Romans chapter 1 in these following verses there. It also concerns the divine Savior. Jesus Christ, our Lord, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, according to the Spirit of sinlessness. There is no sin in the Spirit of holiness. And now we look to the God-man. Because it concerns God, the gospel coming in the flesh, the divine God, but the human Savior as well, made of the seed of David. There we see His humanity. And now, without this, it all goes away. It is the risen Savior. The resurrection from the dead. What a beautiful outline that Paul has given to us in that very opening of Romans chapter 1 in the first 7 verses. How rich are they? Jesus said in John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The Scriptures testify, all of them. A.B. Simpson, that great Methodist pastor, one day said, when you read the Word of God, if you cannot find Christ on every page, go back. You've missed Him. Go back and read it again. He's on every page. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but by holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Peter writes of that in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. The Gospel of Jesus Christ. We look Christward as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember last week I said, yeah, we're celebrating. Yeah, we didn't do it today. Let's do it today. Haven't we? He's risen. Ah, every day, right? Because without the resurrection, our faith is a dead faith. Every day we should get up in the morning and say, He's risen indeed. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. So the more I seek you, the more I find you. And the more I find you, the more I love you. Because now we know the love of God toward us in His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, was buried, but has risen from the grave. We see the gospel of the incarnation of the Son of God, Christ our Lord. Paul takes the names, he takes the title of Jesus Christ, and he stacks them one upon the other that is in line with what the other writers of the gospel have also written of. God's Son, John writes, I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Paul speaks of the incarnate God with us, God in the flesh, and he says, this is God's Son. And John says, yes, I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God in John 1:34. But he now says he's God's Son, but he's Jesus also, the one who saves. Oh my goodness. Matthew in 1:21 also speaks of Jesus. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The gospel of the incarnation of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Because now Paul calls him Christ the Messiah. So does Matthew in Matthew 1 and 18. The birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus who saves. Christ the Messiah who has come, God in the flesh, to save his people from their sins. And then he says, our Lord. He calls him Lord and our Lord. Oh my. Luke writes of this in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus who saves, whom you crucified, both Lord, he is King, and Messiah. He is Christ. Isn't it amazing what the Word of God has to say about the incarnation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God? All points to the resurrection. The gospel concerns God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the subject. He is the author of the gospel. For by Him and through Him, the gospel is created and it is proclaimed. He brings the good news of God to humanity. He is the very embodiment of the good news. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, go ye unto all the world and proclaim me. I am the gospel. I am the good news. I am the Son of God and Son of Man. I am the Christ. I am Lord. Go proclaim the whole world. Scatter the seed. Sing the song of the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel provides to us so much more than this, but let me just give you a couple of wonderful truths here. The first truth is this: God's Son became a man. He was the seed of David. That is, he was born of a woman, but born as a man, as a descendant of David. Who was David? David is declared to be one of the greatest rulers of Israel. And he was one of the greatest ancestors of Jesus Christ. Luke writes of this in Luke 3, 24, 31. What is the point? The point is this: God sent His Son into the world to take on flesh. God became man. He was made. He became, if you will, in the flesh. He took on blood like any other human being. He had not only a divine nature, but he had a human nature. And because he had a human nature, he suffered all of the trials of life that you and I suffer. Not one trial that you suffer, you could say, oh, you have no idea what I'm going through that. He knows everything. But because he had human nature, he suffered like we suffer in all trials. Remember that he has the divine nature. Therefore, he and he alone is able to rescue us through the trials of life. The more we seek him, the more we find him. The more we find him, the more we love him. He is our overcomer. In Hebrews 2, 14 through 18, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For truly, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to rescue them that are being tempted. Hebrews 2, 14 through 18. The beautiful truth is this, that when God came into the flesh, he was just not born like you and I are born. The Son of God says, I will partake of the flesh. I will take that which is human, and I will bring it to myself and myself to it. I will put divinity in human nature, and I will put human nature in divinity. Hence, God with us, the partaker. Isn't that awesome? What a tremendous thing God has done for us. Why? Because of the second wonderful truth that he gives to us through his word. And this is profound. Jesus Christ was the Son of God before he came into the world. He is the second of the Godhead. But since coming, he is declared to be the Son of God by two things. The Spirit of holiness that dwelt in him declares Jesus to be the Son of God. The Spirit of God himself declares Jesus to be the Son of God. We were talking about this morning. No one can say Jesus is Lord lest the Spirit of God causes that person to speak those words. He is the very embodiment of holiness, of purity, of morality, of justice. And his life, the life of Christ on earth that we read of in the Word of God, proves it. He lives for some 33 years and never sins. But why? He didn't know it. Sin. But look what happened to him. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, as like we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. For such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Hebrews 7:26. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb, without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1:19. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. 1 Peter 2:22. Isaiah 53:9 and John 8:46. All affirm this, who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth. My dear friends, we look Christ-worthy because the resurrection from the dead declares that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The resurrection causes us to look Christ-worthy. The gospel of Jesus Christ. All other people are dead. And the very proof can be answered in one simple question. Where are they? Where are they? I can drive to where I grew up. I can go to my apartment where I grew up. But I will not find my mother and father. I will not find my aunts or uncles who lived above or below. They're not there. I'd have to drive to the National Cemetery or cemeteries in Mechanical and Cohoes, and there are a few feet below me. That's where they are. They're not on the earth anymore. They're under the earth. And how I pray that along the way they did receive the gospel. Their souls are with him. But they're gone. Where are our mothers and our fathers? Where are some of your brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, grandmothers and grandfathers? Search as you may, you cannot see Christ. Not Christ. He died. And he rose. As we talked about last week, and by many infallible proofs, he presented himself alive to his disciples. And then to more than 500 on the hillside before he ascended. And today, Jesus Christ lives. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. How do I know that? Because he walks with me, and he talks with me along life's, oh my, where'd it go? The teaching that you'll have today, maybe on the narrow way. I was reading your notes. The hard thing about the narrow way was ever going to be teaching that so spot on. But he walks with us and talks along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives. You can open up the scriptures and seek him and find him. Do you see him? Do you see him? As you walk by the streets, how many cars did you pass by? How many people were driving? Whose lives were broken? Desires to live their lives. We have the gospel. We are the virtuosos. Son of God. How many people are sick? Who love to be here? How many people are in prison? Who love to be set? How many people who love to sing that song? I've come to learn. All we do is still hungry. box. Know and care of Christ. Listen, Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, if we would just look at Christ. Look Christ through the resurrection. Which is why when the women ran to the tomb, the angel said, "He's not here. He's risen." What did they do? They began to look. They went in, they looked at Peter, look, where is he? Is he under here? Is he under there? Are you behind this rock, under that rock? Where are you? He was not far from them, and when Mary came, she thought it was the gardener. But he said to me, not the crucified Christ, but the risen Christ said, God raised him up, ending the pain to death, because it was not possible for him to be held by death. This is the beautiful verse that causes us to look Christward to the resurrection. God knew that the very best way to save humanity from death was through the resurrection of his own Son from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ set free and loosed the pains of death, the birth pangs. For the unbeliever, they are having birth pangs. They are afraid. They are struggling in the pain of death, so much so as a woman is travailing in birth. But we no longer have to suffer the pain of death and of fear suffering through it. He has conquered it. He has abolished death. He has made it completely harmless. Isn't that the good news? That because of Christ's death and the resurrection, we don't have to die. For he has tasted death. Death cannot harm us. We do not die, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, die, taste death. No harm can come to us. Oh, we're separated, yes, from here, but not from him. That's the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Death is the most glorious experience for the believer. Why? Why? Think of it. These tents groan. The world is groaning that Christ would come back. It's impossible for death to hold Christ. Because God, by his foreknowledge and determinate counsel, knew that the way of the cross and the resurrection was the only way, but the best way to save humanity and his creation. Therefore, nothing could stop God from following through with the death and the resurrection of his only begotten Son. Jesus was approved by God. He had God's approval. He was sanctioned. He had all the credentials. He had the endorsement of God himself. He was perfectly acceptable. His resurrection is foretold by the Scriptures. His life itself, the very being, the essence, the quality and the substance of his life, he is the life. He is our life. In him is life. He is the source of life. If we live in the power of the resurrection, we will look Christward. Always look Christward. Let me close with a truth point for you. The sinless, spotless, perfect, righteous Son of God. The perfect man. The sinless man. Died for all humanity as the perfect man. Because of his death, for all who have received him, never have to die, but to be raised to life everlasting. Because of Christ. I mentioned this long old preacher, and I'll mention him again. A.D. Simpson was reported to have said that the gospel tells rebellious men that God is reconciled, that justice is satisfied, that sin has been atoned for, that the judgment of the guilty may be revoked, the condemnation of the sinner canceled, the curse of the law blotted out, the gates of hell closed, the portals of heaven opened wide, the power of sin subdued, the guilty conscience healed, the broken heart comforted, the sorrow and misery of the fall undone, all because of Jesus Christ, Him crucified and raised from the dead. Where's our violins today? What musical instrument will we take to the world? God has given us the most beautiful song to sing. It is of Him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do not hold it. Do not conceal it. But as this collector said, take it to all the world and all to hear the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ died. Christ buried. Christ risen again. Christ ascended, sat down at the right hand of the Father, where He rules and reigns forever. We look to Christ's word, and as we remember His death today, we know that He was betrayed, that He took bread and He gave thanks, and He broke it, and He looked up to His Father and said, to them, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take it, you will all be. And after they had supped, again he took the cup, looking up to heaven, he said, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is given for you for the remission of sins. Take this and drink of it. The Apostle Paul said, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you remember his death until he comes again at the Lord's Supper today. Look Christward. Look Christward. As our deacons would come and wait upon us.